What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Let's Talk Packaging, the only show dedicated to, well, all the things that hold your other things. I'm your host, Alec, and today we have a very special guest in the studio. He's a man who hugs trees, composts his coffee grounds, and can probably tell you the carbon footprint of that banana you're eating. Please welcome my good friend, the environmental enthusiast, Nate.
Haha. Alec, thanks for having me, and for the record, the banana's footprint is actually pretty low, especially if it wasn't air freighted. But yeah, happy to be here to fight for Mother Earth.
And that's exactly why you're here, man, because today we're tackling the big one, the heavyweight championship of the grocery aisle, paper versus plastic. We found this amazing article on the Inline Plastics website that really, it just blew the lid off some common myths, and I thought, who better to hash this out with than Nate?
All right, let's do it. But I'm warning you, I came in here on team paper. It's made from trees, it's biodegradable. I mean, it seems like the obvious choice for the planet, right?
See, that's what most people think, and it makes sense. But this article brought up a point I had never, ever considered. It's all about visibility.
Visibility? What do you mean?
Okay, so get this. The article mentions a major grocery chain that switched all its bakery items to these fancy-looking black paper boxes with little windows. Sounds great, right? Very artisanal.
Yeah, sounds nice. I'd probably be drawn to that.
Well, their sales dropped. A lot. So much that they switched right back to clear plastic packaging. Because the customers couldn't really see the products. The fundamental rule of retail is that people buy with their eyes. And the simple truth is, plastic can be clear, paper can't.
Wow. Okay, I have to admit, I never thought of that. You can't buy what you can't see. And I am definitely guilty of an impulse buy donut if it looks really, really good through the package.
Exactly, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The article then dives into the hidden costs of paper.
Oh, here we go. Don't tell me paper is secretly more expensive.
Well, in many cases, yeah. Think about it. A plain paper box is one thing, but for food, you need special coatings so your soup doesn't just, you know, become the box. You need moisture-resistant liners. And to solve that visibility problem we just talked about, you have to add a transparent plastic window.
So you're adding plastic to the paper to make the paper work.
Bingo. And by the time you've done all that, the cost is comparable to, or even more than, the plastic alternative. Plus, there's the operational side. Paper packaging usually ships flat.
Which saves space. That sounds like a plus.
It does, but it means someone has to be paid to stand there and assemble every single box. Plastic containers? They arrive pre-assembled, ready to go. For a busy food business, that saved labor is a huge deal.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a huge pain for a small bakery or a local restaurant. You're already short-staffed, and now you have to fold 100 boxes before you can even pack the food.
And then there's the food quality itself. The article points out that paper, without a proper liner, can actually draw moisture out of baked goods. It literally makes them go stale faster.
No, haha, nobody wants a stale donut. So you're saying the plastic container, it actually prevents food waste by keeping things fresh longer?
That's the argument, yeah. The superior barrier protection of plastic reduces spoilage. And food waste is a massive, massive environmental problem in itself.
Okay, that is a really strong point. I have to give you that one. Reducing food waste is critical, but what about health? Surely paper is safer. It's just paper.
Oh, this part of the article was pretty eye-opening for me. Apparently, some of the inks used on paper packaging aren't food safe and can contain harmful chemicals. But the really scary part is something called PFAS.
Whoa, hold on. PFAS, as in per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances?
The very same. They're used in the lining of some paper packaging to resist grease and moisture.
Alec, that's not good. Those are the forever chemicals. They build up in the environment and in our bodies, and they're linked to a whole host of health problems. The fact that they're in food packaging is, well, it's deeply concerning. That's a huge point against
right?
that kind of paper packaging.
It completely
packaging.
Complicates the paper is natural and safe argument. So, let's bring it all home. The sustainability pros and cons. We know paper is renewable because it comes from trees and it's biodegradable. Those are the big wins for paper.
But, and this is a big but, its production can be really resource intensive. And unsustainable forestry leads to deforestation, which is a catastrophe. And as we just established, if it has one of those plastic liners or windows, it can't be recycled anyway. It just contaminates the whole recycling stream.
So it's this incredibly complex trade-off. It's cost, performance, and sustainability all tangled together. It's not as simple as paper good, plastic bad. All right, so the big question, Nate, after all this, are you a changed man? Are you going to go out and champion the plastic clamshell?
Ha ha, let's not get carried away. I'm still taking my canvas bags to the grocery store, but I will say, this has given me a lot to think about. It's not as simple as I thought. The food waste angle is a powerful argument for plastic in certain situations. It's about making informed choices, not just assuming paper is always the hero.
Informed choices. I love that. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Nate, thank you so much for coming on the show and nerding out about packaging with me. Awesome. And for everyone listening, if you want to read the article that sparked this whole conversation, you can find it on the Inline Plastics website. It's a great read. Until next time, I'm Alec, and this has been Let's Talk Packaging.